You may be seated. We're continuing with Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. Acts 16, 16 to 24. Bibles are there for you if you wish to follow along. The text will also be up on the screen. This fall, I've been traveling a lot, Natalie and I, to speak in a number of churches that financially support this ministry. And one of the things that we get to do when we're out on the road is we get to tell them cool stories of God's provision, cool stories of God's answered prayer. And when God answers prayer and he provides for us, we often say things like, oh, I'm what? I'm blessed. Yeah. Or I'm favored. And then sometimes when we're out on the road, we get into more private conversations. Somebody will come up after the service and I had somebody the last Sunday just come up and say, I have to go have a heart catheterization tomorrow. And so, you know, you get to pray with people out on the road. And sometimes we're able to comfort others, God says, with the comfort that he's comforted us with. We go through situations, we go through hardships, God comforts us. And we learn to then turn around and share that comfort with others. And, you know, last weekend we were sharing a burden with somebody, an older gentleman in the congregation, and his eyes teared up. And then he shared his story, which had a lot of similarities. And he actually turned around and encouraged us. But do we describe ourselves as blessed or favored when we go through hard circumstances? Do we describe ourselves as blessed or favored when we don't like what's going on? And I don't think we always do. But from God's perspective, hard times are often the training ground through which he grows us. And then he allows us to turn around and be used in the lives of others because we can sympathize with what they're going through. In our account today, we're going to see some leaders in the early church who went through some rough times, although I'm only going to get to part of the rough time that they went through. Pastor Jesse will get to the rest next week. And their perspective was quite amazing. It's quite an example to us. It's quite a challenge to us because I think sometimes if you're like me, I can be a whiner. All right, now I might not whine out loud too much except when I'm alone, but we can whine in our hearts even if we're not whining with our mouths. And God wants us to look at all that he brings into our lives as he knows what he's doing, okay? If you remember, we live in that time in human history where God's original creation was very, very, very fill in the blank. Good, it was perfect. And we're told that for those who are in Christ Jesus, the world that he will recreate, there will be no more tears, no more death, no more suffering. We will live on a restored earth where our Lord reigns, and it will be perfect. But God is very, very honest with us about what life's like right now. You know, I was talking with Henri's taking a class, and we were talking beforehand about a test he just took. And I said, you know, I don't so much mind hard tests in a class if I know what's coming. It's when, like, you don't know and you don't expect the test to be what it is, and you're looking at this stuff and you're saying, where did the teacher come up with this? Right? Yeah, AI. As long as I can have AI answer. But you see, God doesn't tell us exactly what's going to happen in our lives, but he tells us that in this present world, in this present age that we live in, there will be trials and tribulations and circumstances, and he's not going to fix all of them in this life, but he's going to be with us wherever we go. So I want to, as we head into our text today, to help us understand it, if you look at this first slide, we're going to look at three things. God keeps his promises. In this case, he's going to continue to bring Acts 1:8 to pass. The gospel's going to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You know, God has said, this is what you're going to do. I'm with you. It's going to happen. Okay? And so that doesn't change. But we're going to see that God often blesses us, and I put blesses quotation marks, because we don't always feel that way, but it is a blessing, with trying circumstances as he keeps his promises. But he is with us as we learn to put on his armor for spiritual battle. Now, he overcomes. He's going to bring to pass what he wants to come to pass, but that doesn't mean we get rid of all pain and all circumstances and all suffering. So if you remember from last week, they're continuing on their Acts 1:8 journey. They're trying to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And the Spirit gave them a detour. The Spirit said, nope, you're not going over here. You're going to go over there. And they were detoured. Pastor Matt asked the question last week, what does God want from them? Why is he detouring them? And it was interesting because he detoured them through a vision of a man. And then he took them to Lydia and some women praying. And if you'll remember, that's where we left. Paul writes later to a church that is founded there. So we know that the gospel work that we're reading about in Acts. So we know that God kept his promises. But when you see what happens to them today, you're. Let's read. It says, once as we were on our. Remember, Luke wrote Luke and Acts. So if right here Luke says, as we were on our way to prayer, he's not just writing about somebody else. Luke was with them. Luke was part of this journey. As we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. There's a couple things that we need to look at here. First of all, her condition was a condition of bondage. She was literally a slave. She did not have control of her own life. She could not make her own decisions. She was taken advantage of. We also need to notice that she was in spiritual bondage, because it was by the power of the devil, it was by the power of demonic forces, and it seems to connect her back to, if you've done studies in Greek religion, if you've ever heard the name Apollo, okay, the demonic forces that she was involved with were involved with Apollo. If you've ever heard of the Oracle of Delphi, it's the same kind of Greek language that referred back to that situation. So what you have is you have somebody who's in physical bondage, but she's also in spiritual bondage, because whatever she's doing by the power of the devil instead of by the power of the Spirit. She was operating as a medium, as some kind of channel for demonic forces, and people were paying to have their fortunes told. Just a sidelight that'll come back later. Be careful when you get in the way of people's money. Notice the word profit here. A large part of what's going to happen in this passage is Paul's going to get in the way of some people earning money, and they ain't happy. All right, we'll get to that in just a little bit. We're not going to comment politically, but Old Testament and New Testament worship of God, things like fortune telling, things like astrology, horoscopes, things like magic, Ouija boards, seances, all that kind of stuff that people still access today. According to New Testament and Old Testament worship of God, every bit of that is supposed to be off limits to a Christian, because we're supposed to be going to God for our answers. We're to be seeking him for wisdom. We are to be praying. We are to be looking at the word of God for our answers. He's enough. We don't need other things. We trust his promises. We submit to his plans. We look for his power. We trust and obey him without looking to false sources for our guidance. But you probably know people, and let's be honest, some of you in the room have probably engaged in some of these practices at some point in our lives, and a lot of times people do it just thinking it's kind of fun and it's kind of silly, but God says it's very, very dangerous. It can lead us down a dark path, and this young lady, though she was making a financial profit for her masters, she was very much in spiritual bondage. Verse 17 tells us, as she followed Paul to you a way of salvation, or the servants of the Most High God. She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the Spirit, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out right away. Is the demonic message that this girl is proclaiming true in this case? Yeah, they were proclaiming the way of salvation. They were servants of the Most High God. The way of salvation is through whom? Jesus is the only way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. Those are quotes from the scriptures. And that's good news of the gospel. They were serving the Most High God. However, and that's a title that's used for God, throughout the Old Testament. But the Bible describes the devil as a liar. Okay? Jesus called the devil the father of lies, like told the first lies, got Adam and Eve to believe the first lies. And so often, even if the devil kind of tells the truth, there's a twist to it. Even if the devil tells the truth, it does it with the wrong motive. And if you look in the New Testament, Jesus does not allow demonic forces to tell the truth. He wants them to shut up completely. And that's what the apostles were doing as well, because maybe that somebody's listening to the truth through this girl this time, and the next time the message is a lie and they don't know how to be discerning. So what Paul does is he shuts the demon up. Okay, he casts it out. He says, and good news, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. All right, if you have Jesus in your life, though you need to put on the armor of God, God is greater than Satan. God is greater than demonic forces. Demons are angels working for the other side. Okay, they're not equal to God in power. God is the supreme one of all the universe, and he says that all those demonic forces and the devil will eventually be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Okay, their end is certain. So go ahead to the slide here. The way I've summarized this part of the passage, the devil's lies often involve false religious or false spiritual ideas. Okay? Maybe at some point in your life, you were dabbling with other religions, other ways of looking at the world. There are people in all these buildings, I know because I've been in a lot of these buildings and I've talked to them, who have many different spiritual ways of looking at the world. They think there's a God, they think there's a devil, but they're not living and believing the way of the Bible. Okay? They're doing spiritual stuff, but it's part of the devil's lies. The devil loves religious people who are lost, because religious people who are lost, they are really, really lost, because religion can cause you to be very, very committed. And if you're very, very committed to a lie, you can become very, very dangerous. All right? So some of the devil's lies, the devil is trying to get you to believe lies every day. Did you ever notice how certain ways of thinking run through your head? You know, things are going wrong and you start telling yourself a story in your head. Man, I fight these all the time. I'm talking to myself, not out loud. But it's because I know that what I'm thinking about and the way I'm putting the facts together, it's a lie. But boy, that's hard to fight sometimes, especially if we're feeling down or discouraged. But some of those lies involve spiritual stuff. So don't assume that everybody who is spiritual and religious is playing on the same team. Okay? In verse 19, I'll just tell you a story. A couple years ago, we had just done a sermon where we were talking about certain truths about Jesus, like that Jesus is God and man, you know, 100% God, 100% man, one person, one being, but two natures. And we went out and the men were meeting out there for Bible study, and somebody came in off the street and they asked, can I take part in Bible study? And I wasn't teaching it that day, so I was actually, I was not sitting in the circle, but this person immediately tried to take control of the Bible study, and they tried to teach false things about Jesus the whole way through. And they were teaching the exact opposite of what we had just talked about in the sermon. So we're kind to people, we're hospitable, but this person had an agenda. And his agenda was to share the devil's lies. So I said to him, I said, why don't you get another cup of coffee and it's time for you to go, okay? Because he said, I'm going to keep saying what I think. And I said, no, we're not. You're saying the exact opposite of what we just taught from the Word of God this morning. You can have some coffee and you have a good day, but you need to go, right? Because we're not going to, now if he came in and said, you know what? Maybe I am wrong. Let me just sit and be quiet and listen. Fine. Listen, we're glad to have you here, but that isn't what he was trying to do. Okay? Anyway, that wasn't in my notes, so we'll keep on. Verse 19. When her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, uh-oh, Paul, you've just messed with the money, right? They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, bringing them before the chief magistrates. They said, these men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews, and they are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice. Now, what they did is they came up with some kind of reasoning that they hoped to get Paul and Silas in trouble, right? And they didn't care about this religious stuff. They cared about the money. But they came up with an argument that was a lie to follow the father of lies and to try to get Paul and Silas into trouble. For those of you who like to dig a little deeper, this is around the same time that the Roman Empire was not happy with the Jews in general, and they had just kicked all the Jews out of Rome. So they weren't really after Paul and Silas so much for the Christian teaching. They were lumping them in with the Jews, and they were rejecting them as Jews, because if you notice, Luke and Timothy, who was a half-Jew, they didn't get arrested, but Paul and Silas did. I want you to notice from this next slide, when we think about the devil's lies are not always religious in nature. The devil also lies about very practical things like money. Okay? It is a lie to believe that if you just had this amount of money that your whole life would be perfect. There are all kinds of lies. Take sex and relationships. The devil lies and said, oh, you'll be so happy if you just are with that person. Okay? Even though it's outside the bounds of Scripture. We believe the lie, no, I'm being mean to that person, or I'm being hard on that person, but I'm just doing it because they need it. Like, we can believe all kinds of lies to rationalize our behavior. It doesn't have to be religious lies. The devil is quite glad to trip us up in regular old lies about every part of life to get us off track. So you could just fill in the blanks. If we continue on to the next part of our passage, the crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. So when it talks about, they were going to be beaten on bare skin, typically when it says with rods, it would be a bundle of rods tied together, and then you were getting whacked with them over and over and over again. This was quite painful. It would leave you bloody. It would leave you bruised. It would leave you swollen, Okay, this was not a comfortable situation for many days after a beating. It's also interesting if you read, as I mark down 2 Corinthians 11 and go back and read it later. In 2 Corinthians later, Paul talks about how he gets blessed with this treatment a number of times in his ministry. He got blessed with beatings, okay? Now, when it comes down here to the bottom where it talks about having your feet secured in the stocks, doesn't every amusement park have a fake one of these? Like, you put your arms through the holes, you put your legs through your holes, you're sitting on a little bench and everybody's using it as a photo op and taking your picture. It doesn't look so bad, but the way they designed these for real, they designed them so they spread your legs out as much as possible. You were in that position for hours and hours and hours and even days. And what it did is it resulted in severe cramping. You know, so if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night with like calf cramps or cramps in your feet or any of that, and you know how painful that is, you're like, oh, just get rid of it. Well, that's what this was designed to do, okay? And so these guys are now suffering, and I want you to think about the devil. We've said he's a liar. He's first going to start off with, can I just get you living a lie, believing a lie? The biggest lie is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Because Jesus is our only hope. He's the hope of the gospel. We are sinners. We are condemned. We stand before the Lord in need of judgment because God is holy and he is just, and yet Jesus Christ died in our place. Fully God, fully man, the perfect sacrifice, and he's our only hope of forgiveness and salvation. And yet the devil would be glad to have you believe that Jesus was just a good teacher, or Jesus was just a prophet, or Jesus is just one of many ways to the Lord. And yet the truth is, he's the only way. And yet sometimes, he wasn't going to trip Paul and Silas up with lies, okay? They were committed to the course. And so the Bible talks about the devil in another way. He says that Satan, the devil, is like a roaring what? Lion, seeking whomever he can devour. Now listen, we're going to do some devouring in a little while, okay? There's going to be some food back there. It's going to smell good. It's going to look good. It's going to taste good. Some of you are hungry, and now you're not going to listen to the rest of the sermon, right? Because you want to devour. But a lion is looking to pick off whoever he can pick off. You know, if you got a bunch of zebras and there's a weak and slow zebra, that weak and slow zebra's the easy one to target, okay? So the next slide. Sometimes the devil's lies stir up violence against God's people, for the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Satan is active in this passage because Satan knows God's plan of Acts 1:8 to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and he's going to throw lies into the middle of it, and he's going to throw violence into the middle of it because he wants to stop the truth from going forth. Now listen, you know, sometimes we whine and complain because somebody picks on us a little bit or makes a little bit of fun of us for our faith. Or maybe there's a little bit of legal pressure because of what we believe. And yet, you know, some of you who come from India right now, you know that you have family members, friends, people you know who are under more of the violent kind of persecution, right? And many parts of the world, you can go online and you can read every day about things that happen around the world where the roaring lion is trying to eat people up, trying to devour them to stop the gospel from going forth. All right, now we've said that, in a sense, their hardship is a blessing. And you're going to find out next week with Pastor Jesse that they respond to it like it's a blessing. They respond to it in a supernatural, Holy Spirit kind of way that's really hard for us to respond in similar fashion. We can look at their example, and sometimes we fall flat on our face, but they're going to do it because they were blessed with the opportunity to continue to share the gospel. They were blessed with the presence of the Lord with them in the prison. They were blessed with the notion that God would say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servants," because they were obeying. And they were blessed because God's going to use their persecution and their suffering to plant a church and build a church in Philippi that lasts, that's still around, so that we can read the book of Philippians a little later. So we need to think about this pretty seriously in our lives, how we pray and how we think about the hardships that God allows in our lives. Now, it's not easy. And if one of you comes to me with a hardship, or if I come to you with a hardship, you know, probably the best response is not, "Hey, suck it up, God's at work." Okay, we need to have some compassion on one another. We need to pray for one another and encourage one another, but we also need to remind one another that God knows what he's doing, that God is in control, and that God promises in Romans that he will work all things together for good. Doesn't say all things together to make it easy on us. Doesn't say all things to make us comfortable, but he will ultimately use everything to carry out good plans that he has. Now, for us to successfully navigate circumstances, we need to put on some spiritual armor that Caleb read about this morning. Let me just go back to three of those verses. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. I love that translation. His vast strength. God's got more strength than you can imagine. God's got more strength than you need. He's got enough strength for you and everybody else at the same time. And he can still run a universe. Okay? He is not under pressure when we are under pressure. He can strengthen us, and we desperately need that strength. How do we experience that strength? Put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil lies and he schemes. He tries to trick. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, who does the devil often use to get us off track? Flesh and blood people, right? They're complaining at us, stealing from us, smacking us, hurting us, whatever. But God reminds us that they are people made in his image who need Jesus. They need Jesus' forgiveness. There's actually a source behind their wickedness. Our struggle is against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of the darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Ever hear of boot camp? Okay. Soldiers go to boot camp to get trained so that they can go into battle. And God says there's a spiritual form of boot camp to get you ready for the battle. And we're not going to go through it verse by verse because that would be a whole nother sermon. But I want you to hear some key words of what the spiritual armor represents. We need to know, believe, obey, and stand for truth, okay? Truth is part of that spiritual armor. Righteousness is part of that spiritual armor. We do the right thing. We treat others righteously. And yet our dependence is upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to us by faith, which is the gospel message. Peace, both peace with others and peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the midst of our circumstances, believing that he's got our hand. Salvation, which we've just talked about. The word of God and prayer and all these pieces of armor, we put them on every day. And when we don't use them, like sometimes we put our armor on and then we don't use it. Okay, we get into a circumstance and we're like shedding armor along the way. We're fleeing instead of hanging in there in his strength. Well, we're gonna leave this like they do in the TV shows and series. We're gonna bring it right up to the key point. They've been locked up, they've been beaten, their legs are stretched out, they're in pain. What's going to happen? What are they going to do? And then we're going to let Jesse have the fun part next week, right? You know, thinking back on one last thing in this, I've often wondered about this slave girl. The demon was cast out of her, but there's no record of whether she placed her faith in Christ or not. Did you know that you can turn from one bad situation in your life and one bad way of looking at the world, and you can pick another bad way? Right? Like, you could turn from no religion and embrace a false religion. You could say, I'm tired of robbing and stealing and being addicted and this, that, and the other thing. And you could get clean, and you could get an education, and you could live the rest of your life for money. So you can turn from one bad way of life to another bad way of life that maybe is a little more socially acceptable. One time Jesus was talking about someone from whom evil spirits were cast out, and he said, you know, if the spirits come back and they find the house swept out but uninhabited, they can move right back in. And the idea of that is the only true solution to the stuff that's going on in our lives is Jesus. We need to be filled with his presence through the Holy Spirit by faith in the gospel. I wish I knew if she came to Christ and she was one of the ones who later received a letter to the Philippians. That would be a cool story, but we don't know. We're not told. But what we do know as we finish this off is God blessed them with trials as he kept his promises, and they engaged in spiritual warfare in his power with very practical tools. I'll give you a little hint. One of the most practical tools they used is in the midst of their struggles, they worshiped, they praised, they sang to the Lord. And one of the greatest evidences, not always right away, because we're human and the pressures mount and sometimes we blow it, but how over time do we respond to trials is often evidence that we've really come to Jesus for salvation and his Holy Spirit really lives within us. And so our challenge this morning is to put on the armor for whatever we will face this week and looking at our circumstances differently because God is carrying out his mission and sometimes the way he carries it out is to let us go through hard times, and he knows what he's doing. Lord, help us to repent of our unbelief, of our lack of trust, for any reliance that we've had on anything other than you. Lord, if there's anyone in here who is caught up in demonic activity, would you free them today, but would you free them by filling them with Jesus? Lord, if there are any caught up today in lies of materialism or sex or fame or pride or anything that can get in the way that's practical, it's not spiritual, would you free them today and fill them with Jesus? And then for those of us who have Jesus, would you help us to put on the armor and walk in it in reliance upon you? In Jesus' name, amen.